Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr. With Mayor Bloomberg's time in office winding down, he's working hard on the finishing touches to his legacy. One of the final pieces is the rezoning of East Midtown, the area between Grand Central and 57th Street between Madison and 2nd Avenues. It's already home to office space galore, but most of it dates from the Mad Men era, and the administration worries that we're losing ground to Shanghai's new office towers. Real estate developers love the plan, but community boards don't, and Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer gave a revised conditional plan conditional approval. Joining me to go over the details is Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto, who covers economic development in New York. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much.
So let's start with this idea that the area needs to be rezoned when it's already zoned for office buildings. Is the big change to allow for taller buildings?
Right, exactly. So right now, the way that it works is a lot of these buildings are actually built, like, predate the current zoning. So they're actually built larger than current zoning would allow. So if a developer were to tear it down and try to rebuild it, they could actually build a smaller building than what they have now. So it makes no economic sense for them to try to upgrade their office buildings. So the idea is to sort of incentivize them to build new towers.
And Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been a cheerleader for this proposal. Let's take a listen back to his State of the City address earlier this year. This is how he talked about this.
We won't rush the rezoning, but we won't allow the obstructionists to run out the clock either. This is just too important for our future. And given all the politics and special interests, if we don't get it done this year, it may never get that done. We just can't let that happen.
So what's Mayor Bloomberg's argument? Why does the administration think it's needed?
Well, what they're saying is that sort of the way that people use office space is changing. We now all like to work in open plan offices with lots of windows, and these older buildings, they aren't really suited to that. And meanwhile, other cities, Shanghai, London, all over the world, are building these new office buildings that appeal to companies, and we're increasingly competing on a global level. So he's saying we really need to incentivize not tons, but about, you know, a dozen or so new towers that will make our district more competitive.
Listeners, we're taking your calls about this East Midtown rezoning. What do you think about the proposal? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. I'm speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto. So on that idea of demand for new office space, is there big demand for more office space in Midtown, or is the idea that we need to build more so that we make sure that companies who are considering other international cities look to New York?
Well, this is absolutely one of the questions that's really at the heart of the controversy, because we're already building a lot of brand new office space in Hudson Yards, downtown. Members of those communities are actually opposed to the Midtown East rezoning because they're concerned that we're creating too much office space, too much competition. Meanwhile, also, we see the taste of tenants changing a lot. They're looking for old warehouse buildings, cheaper space, a lot of these sort of new technology companies. So this is sort of a real question is, but one of the things that the Bloomberg administration has done is they put in this very unique five-year sunrise clause. So this won't even actually take effect until 5 years from now, or almost 5 years from now. And the idea is that by then, there probably will be more demand for space.
So it's looking ahead 5 years. I mean, we heard Mayor Bloomberg as he was making his case in his State of the City that we have to do this right now, he says, because it might not happen if I'm out of office. Is this a comment on what he thinks his successor's priorities might be in East Midtown?
Certainly, if you try to get the administration to talk about that, they will dodge it. His successor haven't said a lot about it. I mean, people like Christine Quinn, obviously, has a sort of quite a close relationship with Mayor Bloomberg. Others have been sort of measured, said we need to be cautious. But yeah, it's certainly, Bloomberg has been very proactive in terms of zoning, very, very effective in terms of rezoning the city and promoting development. And there is a sense that we'll be in a changed world and this may not be a priority for the next mayor.
But the administration has revised its original plan to address some of the criticisms of community boards. One of the big changes has been churches like St. Patrick's and St. Bart's. They're really happy with some of these revisions. What are they getting?
They're basically getting a broader right, sort of ability to sell air rights, which is a great way for them to generate revenue. So for them, that's good news. For developers, that's actually also pretty good news.
Tell me what that looks like if a church sells air rights. What does that mean? Where does a building go?
So it doesn't mean that the building obviously goes on top of the church. It means that a developer who's within a certain zone will be able to add to their building in exchange for, you know, for getting those air rights.
And what other changes were in the revisions? There's also some more residential units?
Right. This is one of the things that the city council member Daniel Gorotnik had pushed for, was that we're seeing that there's a sort of shift in the way that we create neighborhoods now, that we don't just want a place where we go and we work and we go home and sleep, that we, or, you know, go somewhere else and sleep. We want a neighborhood that's 24/7. So the idea is that by allowing a small number of residential units, this will create a more vibrant neighborhood, better restaurants. I mean, we all know what the restaurants in Midtown East are like right now.
We're getting some calls with your takes on the East Midtown rezoning plan. George on the Upper West Side, what do you think about the plan?
Good morning. I am very familiar not only with virtually all the buildings that are there. I had a presentation given to me, excellent presentation by someone with the the New York Landmarks Conservancy, talking in great detail, as well as pointing out which buildings are worthwhile considering for possible landmark review and the rest. Many of the proponents of this have been showing pictures with huge buildings casting shadows on virtually everything you can imagine. Clearly, the air rights from Grand Central are a contestable point because the owner of the property, which is not the MTA, people don't realize that, may very well sue, saying that they're having their property rights taken away from them by transferring some air rights, more of them. So that's an open item. But the city's made an interesting compromise. And what they've done, I understand, is to say there is the argument that without sufficient additional infrastructure, building all these buildings is going to create problems that are even worse than whatever congestion we have now. And what the city has said is we won't wait for the buildings to be built and demanded of the developers. Instead, the city will do it now and then recoup that cost of that as developers do take on larger developments. And the advantage of that, of course, is that their ratables will go up and it will be covered and repaid, which means we have to demand on that in the future. The final thing is that not all these buildings are landmarks. Not all of them deserve to be landmarks. There are maybe a few more than those that are already landmarked, which in fact should be considered for it, and that would be fine, in which case those buildings could then have the rights to transfer the air rights that they have within the zoning to something else, which helps the existing buildings continue.
Well, George, let me ask you your gut. I mean, you're describing a lot of the details of the compromise, but, mm-hmm. but what's your gut for or against it at this point?
I think it's necessary. I think it's right. It's an area that has heavy use, and we encourage building in the West Midtown and elsewhere. And now it's time, quite rightly, to look at the possibility. And that's all it is a possibility. That developers could come forward 5-10 years out from now, 20 years out from now, and in fact do it. I don't think it's the horror story that people who are trying to prevent any of this going through are arguing.
All right. Thanks for your call, George. Cindy in Manhattan, you disagree, right?
Yes, I do, because I don't understand. I mean, I'm on the West Side, and I'm looking at what they have done over here. Okay, granted that the West Side had a lot of space. But in the Midtown Manhattan, where he's talking about, how many more high-rise buildings is he going to put up there? First of all, he's going to be blocking out so much sunlight in that area. And as I said to the young lady, or the gentleman, if Jackie Kennedy was alive today, I'm sure she'd be fighting him on this. Had he had his way, we would not still have Grand Central. It's all about real estate. And 5 years from now, who knows what the heck we're going to need in this city? And about affordable housing or housing for other people, that's a lot of gold. It's all about his buddies and his friends for real estate in this city going forward. And, I mean, enough is enough. Who died and made him king?
All right.
I mean, I'm a Democrat, and I voted for him, but I'm going to tell you, coming towards the end, I am terribly disappointed in Mayor Bloomberg.
Thank you for your call, Cindy. So, Laura, we hear there just a some of the terms of the debate in a lot of ways. I mean, let's go back to talk about that, the way transit and infrastructure will be paid for under the current compromise plan. How will that work?
So this is one of the biggest things that the community was pushing for, which is the way that the plan was originally set up, developers, as they were paying for these additional development rights, would pay into a fund, and that would pay for upgrades to transit as well as for upgrades to the public space. And what community groups were saying is, we need these now. If you're going to bring all these new people into our district, we need to make these improvements today, not on this piecemeal basis. And so the Bloomberg administration came out last week and said, okay, we will put the money up front for the transit improvements, and we expect to get paid back as developers build these new buildings. Of course, that leaves open the question. I mean, they haven't given a lot of details about it, and it leaves open the question, well, will we get paid back? We don't know for sure how much is going to be built, and so we don't know for sure how much developers are going to end up paying into this fund. So that's an open question, but at least it does seem like we'll get some of those transit improvements right away.
Because worst-case scenario is that the city is on the hook for making these transit investments.
Right, exactly. That's at least what we think so far. One of the criticisms of the community is Bloomberg wrote this op-ed last week, but they didn't say how much was going to be put to transit, what types of projects it's going to be used to pay for. And so the community is really pushing for more details on that.
Another group that's weighed in is the hotel union, and they are for the plan as it's currently designed, right?
That's interesting, actually. They were initially, and now if you would ask them, they would call themselves critics on the basis of this one crucial thing, which is that they would like a special permit for hotel development in this area, saying that we don't want this to be a rezoning that becomes about allowing people to just build lots of new hotels. We want this to be a rezoning that's focused on office space and that sort of judiciously includes new hotel development.
Huh. So they want less hotel development than the current plan would allow.
I would say they want sort of public approval for hotel development, and that benefits them because it goes through a public approval process. Hotels tend to be unionized, and that's certainly, they would say, better for middle-class jobs, that sort of thing.
And tell me more about what the community boards have said. I mean, has there been a sense at all that if we don't make these investments in the area around Grand Central, that this neighborhood will lose out to other parts of the city? Or are they looking more at feeling like it's going to destroy the current character of the neighborhood?
Certainly the community boards, in fact, seven community boards across Manhattan have come out in opposition to the plan, which isn't to say that if you're the community board in Midtown East, you're probably not anti-development. You're probably not anti-office space. I mean, this is not sort of a small, low-rise neighborhood. But what they're sort of upset about is traditionally the way that rezonings happen in New York, it's at what would be a glacial pace by standards almost anywhere else in the world, something that's talked about for years. And there's a sense that this all coming together in the course of a little over a year hasn't allowed for enough opportunities for community collaboration. So they would like to see it scrapped, revisited by the next mayor when there's more time.
And I said at the top, we've had Scott Stringer, Manhattan Borough President, come out with a conditional approval for the revised plan. What is his role in this process? What does it mean that his approval is conditional?
So he really just plays an advisory role no matter what he says. But he's been a borough president who's been very active in trying to make that a role that people pay attention to. Most recently, his recommendations on Madison Square Garden, that there be a 10-year permit and that we look at moving the arena, were mirrored in what the city council said. And so what he said at this point is, well, he certainly really pushed for this transit money up front, and he's put a number of other conditions. And what it might do is it may shape the debate of the city council, but I would say overall he was pretty judicious. I don't think he really came out swinging on this one against the Bloomberg administration.
So do some political analysis for us. Scott Stringer, of course, is also running for comptroller against Eliot Spitzer. Who is he aligning himself with this conditional approval?
I would certainly say if you talk to people after Stringer came out with his recommendations and asked who's happy and who's not happy, the community was deeply unhappy. I think they had hoped he would be more of an advocate for them. The real estate industry, pretty contented. Bloomberg administration, looks pretty good for them. He didn't really, again, sort of come out and attack the proposal. And I had sort of written a little bit about what does this sort of mean, and It could mean anything. It could mean he just didn't want, this just wasn't his battle to pick, but it does certainly suggest that he didn't want to alienate the real estate industry, which is a major donor to him and a very sort of powerful group in the city.
And one more question for you, Laura Cusisto from the Wall Street Journal. I mentioned that the revised plan allows for residential units, but there's no affordable housing requirements, right? Who will live here?
I would imagine it will not be poor people, but that's a really good question, actually. I'm sure that the community would like to see a bigger mix of people, but this certainly isn't the kind of community that we've seen, like in Williamsburg, where there's rezoning, where you have this sort of real poor community that I've seen, at least. But that's a good question. I don't know. I guess maybe people who want to live close to work. Maybe we'll get a community that's very much like downtown, right, where you have people who work in a law office a couple of blocks away, and it's a great place for them to live and work and play.
All right. Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto has been covering all of this about the Midtown East rezoning plans, the original plan, the revised plans. Thanks so much for catching us up.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk breakups and dating in Brooklyn with novelist Adele Waldman. Her new book is The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P. And we're taking your calls of dating stories, 212-433-9692. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.